Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Our text is Psalm 78 and 1 Corinthians 10 and Romans 15. We're going to start at least a little mini-series tonight. And this little mini-series is God's Gospel Lessons from History. I haven't decided at this point how many weeks to spend looking at this, and this may be an introduction to looking at a couple of books in Holy Scripture, but whatever the case, the Lord has put upon my heart for us to look at these passages of Scripture, and I trust that they will be a great encouragement to your heart as they have been by God's blessing to my own heart over the last several weeks. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the word of the living God, a maskil of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. The Ephraimites, armed with the bow, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant, but refused to walk according to his law. They forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we ask that you would bless us with your spirit and that we would be taught of you the lessons from history that you have recorded for us, and that we would learn what you want us to learn from these historical events. In Jesus we pray, amen. Well, tonight we're going to look at three passages of Scripture. And this first passage impresses upon us the duty to learn God's history and for us to be teaching our children and our grandchildren, so that they can teach their children and grandchildren, and on from generation to generation, the great things that God has done. Indeed, history is his story. If we would have a biblical view of who we are, how we got here as individuals, families, this nation, the other nations of the world, we must see that there is a hand guiding history. There is a hand that is bringing blessings and judgments in history. And it is the hand of the sovereign God. History is guided by the God who planned history. And as we read in Ephesians 1, verse 11, our God works all things according to the counsel of his will. And so history is not just a collection of meaningless, haphazard events. That's all the humanist has. the humanist doesn't see the hand of God. But the Christian is called upon to ourselves take to heart the truth. And part of the truth of God's word is God recording for us the great works that God has done in the past. We see in this passage the devastating effect that happened to the people of God when they forgot their history, when they refused to take to heart themselves and refused to pass on to the next generation, or the next generation refused to receive. You can think of Joshua and Caleb. Here's an example in the Old Testament of men who were faithful, who did believe, and they urged their generation, don't rebel against God. Yes, they're giants in the land. And so it's not always that one generation is failing to reach out the truth to the next and the next and the next generation. Sometimes it's a combination. Sometimes it's one. Sometimes it's the other. But God calls upon us tonight, we who are older, to learn God's history and the lessons He would have us learn ourselves, so that not only would we hope in God, but we can pass on to succeeding generations the glory of God and the resulting lesson of having hope and life in the Christ. So that's what we see in this passage. In verse 1, give, O ear, O my people, to my teaching. And what was this important teaching that Asaph is urging God's people by the power of the Holy Spirit? I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known. Now, it's interesting. Parables, dark sayings, what's that all about? Well, he's referring to the stories, the recountings of what God has done. You know, little children love stories. Little children love to hear, here's what happened. When our children were little, sometimes when we would go shopping, we would end up in a store, and a lot of times we would get tired of shopping, or at least most of us in the party would get tired of shopping. And so we would find a store that had carpet, a nice clean carpet, and it was always fun to find a place where there was mirrors, and we would just have those that weren't shopping take a seat, and the thing that would keep the children entertained were parables and dark sayings. Daddy, tell us what it was like when you were little. Back, you know, when the dinosaurs walked on the earth. So parables, dark sayings, riddles, fascinating things. That's how the history, it doesn't mean that these weren't historical events, but it indeed is a captivating thing. It ought to captivate our own hearts to think about what God Almighty has done. And notice, how did he get these things? Well, verse 3, things that we have heard and known and that our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children that the next generation might know them. The children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. You see, these stories are not all positive, as we're going to see here in a little while. Some of these stories are, here's what not to do. Don't do this. But these are the things that God has commanded. He has given to us the privilege of taking to heart ourselves the history of the great things that God has done, and to share them with our children and grandchildren, so that those succeeding generations can do the same thing and learn, as we see in verse 7, to set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. To forget the works of God is to cease to have hope in God. And individuals and families and a congregation or a country that loses hope in Jesus dies in every aspect of life, physically, emotionally, economically, as well as spiritually. Jesus is our life. And so to remember the works of God is crucial. We don't want to be like these examples that are recorded for us here in Psalm 78. Why has God recorded them? To teach us to not be like those who forgot God. The next passage I want us to look at is over in the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And this passage reminds us that all the things of all the histories that we would profit from, there is one history in particular that is paramount, and that is God's own history book, the Holy Scriptures. The Scripture is full of the records of the great things that God has done in the past. And I'm not against other history books at all. I love to read historical events of the past, but we can't understand our own history, our own family's history. We can't understand the history of this country. We can't understand the history of Western civilization. We can't understand the history of the church. We can't understand any other history if we don't know this history book well. Look in Romans chapter 15, and we'll start reading in verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And so here we have a quote from Psalm 69. And the Apostle Paul writing, addressing the problem of God's people having a hard time getting along with each other. He calls these people to look to Jesus. And where are they going to learn about Jesus? Because as we're going to see, He is our hope. He is the one who alone can give us salvation and life and hope. It is the Holy Scriptures. And so in verse 4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And so Psalm 78, verse 7 said, we want to learn from the great things that God has done for us to have hope. Well, where are we going to learn this? And the book, the history book that God has given to us to teach us the great events that have happened in the past and what God wants us to learn from those events are recorded for us in Scripture. This history book alone can enable us to look at other history and to see at least the main points properly so that we can benefit, so that we can have hope, as we read there at the end of verse 4. And so, verse 5, may the God of endurance, perseverance, and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, here is a passage that, again, is crucial for us. The whole of Scripture, verse 4, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. And the Old Testament and the New Testament record all kinds of amazing historical events. And why did God record it? So that we might have hope. Now, verse 13 reminds us that apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from God coming and being our teacher to give us eyes to see, people can look at the Bible and know the facts of the Bible, the historical facts that are recorded, and miss the point. Just like people in our day and time, they can look at history outside of what Scripture refers to. And they can cite dates and talk about empires that have risen and fallen. But if they don't have eyes to see the hand of God at work and the truth of Holy Scripture applied to it, they won't trust and obey Jesus. Because that's how God gives us hope. He gives us and our children and grandchildren hope through His Word. And His Spirit is the one who takes the Word of God and gives us hope in Jesus. Look at verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And so Psalm 78, verse 7, God gives us the joy of knowing Him. And we have hope and life in Jesus. And God uses these amazing events that happened in history to proclaim the gospel to our hearts. The last passage that we're going to look at is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And here's another passage that teaches us about the history and its relationship to giving us hope and life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and following, for I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness, Now, these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. And so these same historical events that we sang about, read about in Psalm 78, that are recorded for us in Holy Scripture, we could go back to the book of Exodus particularly, and read about the details, more of the details of the plagues of Egypt and how God delivered his people. We can read about the history after that and how the children of Israel forgot so quickly. What is it that we need to learn from that? Well, God tells us the chief lesson in this passage in 1 Corinthians 10. God gives to us a commentary on his history. What is the lesson that he wants us to learn? It is to trust in Jesus, to cling to him. The history that is in view here in 1 Corinthians 10 is the events that happened in Moses' day. And notice what he says about those events in verse 6 and those people. Now these things took place as what? Examples for us. Why? What do we learn from them? That we might not desire evil as they did. They turned their back on who? Look up in verse 4. They all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was who? Rock was Christ. When Moses was told to speak the rock and take his staff and strike the rock, and all of a sudden water gushed, a river of water. It's been estimated that the Israelites were probably around 2 million at the minimum in number who had come out of Egypt. And we can extrapolate that from the men of war that are numbered in the book of Numbers. That's a lot of people. And the cattle, can you imagine how much water it would take for that many people? And so here's a river of water that gushes out of this rock. The rock is struck, and God provides life-saving water. It was a shadow of Christ, of his work, that he would be struck on the cross and provide the river of life, of redemption, of salvation. But they turned from him and despised him after sin. Look down in verse 9. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. And verse 11, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction. Now these are negative examples that are recorded for us in 1 Corinthians 10. God says, as you read my history, I want you to see that Christ was with them and offering them life, and they turned from him, and how'd life go for them? Oh, what a disaster. Well, so it will be for us. If we turn from Jesus, life will be what? A disaster. We'll have a taste of hell in this life and hell itself in the life to come if we're apart from Christ. So don't do this. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. You remember Hebrews chapter 11? We have a record of all kinds of historical figures throughout the Old Testament in Hebrews chapter 11. And these are examples of men and women of what? Faith in the Christ. These are men and women who did believe. Now, they all had clay feet, but they had life because they knew Christ. And look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and who are the witnesses? All these men from the historical events that happened in time and space that actually walked on this earth, that saw the great works that God did and were part of that, and God has recorded that for us. Why? As a positive example, so that we can learn what? To love Jesus, trust in Him, to turn from sin. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight. We want to follow them. We want to walk in their footsteps. We want to turn from sin and turn and love who? Jesus Christ, the only Savior. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so you can think in terms of the whole of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is God's history of redemption. And there are lessons that God has recorded for us, the whole of the Bible. Yes, we need John 3:16. It is precious to us, but that's not the only verse we need. We need the whole of the Bible, including all of these amazing historical events that God has recorded for us. John 3:16 focuses on the most crucial, important historical event that happened in the history of the world, which is God in the fullness of time sending His Son to come and die upon the cross and to be raised from the dead, to be our living Savior, that whoever believes in Jesus would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And so, let me ask you, are you learning God's history? Are you learning the lessons He wants you to learn from His history book, which is to turn from sin and love Jesus and follow Him, to have hope and life in Jesus? If so, you keep feeding on God's history book. You keep turning from sin. You keep loving Jesus. Amen. Father, we ask that You would write upon our hearts how important it is for us to take to heart the great things You've done in the past and learn the lessons from them. Lord, both positive examples, like we see in Hebrews 11, and negative examples, like we see recorded and summarized for us in 1 Corinthians 10. Lord, we thank You that You are the God who planned and orchestrates what we see going on, not only in the past, but before our very eyes. And we thank You that You're the Lord of heaven and earth, and that you are guiding history that will someday culminate in that great day when you will come again bodily, physically from heaven, Lord Jesus, to usher in the great judgment day and then eternity. Lord, we thank you that you will purge the universe with fire on that day to cleanse this universe from the horrors of the effects of sin, and Satan and the demons will be cast into the lake of fire, and those who have lived against you, who are apart from Christ, will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. But we, Lord, by your grace, look forward to enjoying the bliss and the glory of heaven with you forever and ever. And so, Lord, in our own history, we pray, Lord, that your history book and the great things you've done in the past, that we would feed upon it and know it and learn the lessons that you have revealed to us, to turn from sin and love you, Lord Jesus, that we might be a people who have hope and life and blessing in you, O living God. Thank you, O Lord, that we can trust in you. It is so sweet to trust in you, Lord Jesus. And we do pray for grace to trust you more. In Jesus we pray, amen.